Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Tim Dillon Show. Will Trump release the unredacted Epstein files? Kalshi.com, folks. Go over there. Go over to Kalshi.com. Start your own betting market. Start your own market. Who knows? Are they going to come out redacted? Is he going to have Pam Bondi scrub all of the references to powerful Republicans? We don't know. Go over to Kalshi.com. Have fun with it. Have fun with an international pedophile ring maybe being declassified by the United States government. Go have a little fun. Make a buck. How about you make a buck? Because then you're sitting at Thanksgiving and you go, you know, we knew he wasn't going to release the unredacted pedophile report. And you go, yeah, I made a couple of bucks on that. Somebody go, yeah? You go, yeah, I made a couple of bucks. Actually, I bet on that. I knew he wouldn't, and I made a couple of bucks. And they go, interesting. You're not going to make a couple of bucks? Mike Johnson's mad at this. He's not happy. He's the Speaker of the House. He's angry that the Epstein files might be released. He's, like, not happy. He's, like, disappointed. Watch this. This is the Speaker of our House of Representatives, and as my late nanny would say, God help us and save us. Mike Johnson.
All right. Number five, national security concerns, okay? The discharge requires the Attorney General to release within 30 days, quote, classified information to the maximum extent possible. This ignores the principle that declassification should always rest and always has rested with the agency that originated the intelligence. Why? So that they can protect their critical sources and methods. It is incredibly dangerous to demand that officials or employees of the DOJ declassify materials that originated in other agencies.
Totally cool. Right. Great point. Let's not do it. He just won me over. I totally forgot about that. That's such a good point that he just made about that. Totally fucking, the guy hit it out of the park right there. First of all, they literally told you a few months ago that Epstein was not running a trafficking ring at all. Now they're saying there are national security concerns in the intelligence of the guy who was not running a trafficking ring. Why would there be concerns about our national security in the Epstein files? Doesn't that seem odd to anyone? Supposedly there was no client list and he wasn't doing anything. And then if he was doing something, he was just pimping out girls to rich guys, which is obviously evil and they should all go to jail. But why does this have to do with our national security? That's odd. It's odd that we're talking about this in terms of, quote, intelligence and our national security. Remember, Jeffrey Epstein is just like a weird rich guy who has a predilection for underage girls, right? Like, he's not doing anything on behalf of any foreign government, right? He's not doing anything that our government knew about, right? He's not blackmailing anyone. They told us it's not a blackmail operation. So it seems odd to me that there'd be national security concerns in the Epstein files. That's so weird. Johnson wasn't speaking off the cuff. He was quoting from a document produced by his office detailing five flaws with the bill. The fifth and final flaw, titled National Security Concerns, says that it's incredibly unwise to demand that the DOJ declassify materials originated by other agencies. That declassification should protect sources and methods and directs Congress to, quote, work with the Attorney General Pam Bondi to declassify in a reasonable time frame. It's just so odd that this thing that doesn't exist has national security implications. That's super weird. What? I don't get it. Even if Epstein was this guy who was like hiding money for people or, you know, again, he was like a pimp. What does it have to do with America's national security? Huh. Huh. So odd. Interesting. Well, I guess when the documents come out, we'll find all that out, why it's such a concern and why they don't want it out and who's embarrassed. And I think it's going to be a watershed moment when these things come out. I think people are going to be disturbed by the content of them. And I think the content of these documents is going to be enough to paint a global picture that people are going to find less than thrilling, I believe. But that's just my own belief. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's going to be underwhelming. But again, there's no way that the government fought like hell to keep them under lock and key if there's nothing there. So they might be running around now trying to redact them and, you know, so you're confused by them and you don't really know what's going on. They might be trying to scrub certain names from them or certain implications. I don't really know. I know that they're coming out. I don't know if they'll be out before Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving is a time that no matter who you are, whether you're a Republican, a Democrat, a white person, a black person, a pedophile in the Mossad, none of it matters. You should have a Thanksgiving. You should be able to sit down with your family and have a Thanksgiving and not focus on the division, focus on the people at the table whom you love. Even if they are pedophiles that are working for a foreign government, it's Thanksgiving. There's got to be one day when we just relax and say pedophiles who may or may not be working for foreign governments get to have sweet potatoes and turkey and just sit on the couch after the turkey and go, I'm zapped. And then someone goes, that's the tryptophan in the turkey. Like, you know, watch a little football, have some stuffing, a little cranberry sauce, and let's not lose our mind here just because someone happens to be a pedophile who's blackmailing our politicians so that we can continually be in war. You know what I mean? Like, if Thanksgiving's about anything, it's about leaving those divisions behind and embracing the fact that we like to go out, have a nice meal, and enjoy ourselves and enjoy our family. It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter who they are. Some of them are going to be agents of our own government, a foreign government. Some of them are going to be human traffickers. Some of them are going to traffic narcotics. They're going to be narco traffickers. Some of them are going to be paid protesters who just show up and start lighting shit up. If somebody gives them enough money, they just show up and start lighting shit up in the town square. Who cares? It's Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving. It doesn't matter who these people are. Doesn't matter. Some of them are going to be pedophiles. I don't know what to tell you. It's Thanksgiving. Trump called a woman a little piggy, quiet piggy. I wonder what exactly, there's people saying that it's going to open a can of worms up about his relationship with Russia. I don't know if that's true. There are people saying that Putin's got compromise on Trump and has forever. There are people saying that it's going to be about Israel. We're going to find out Epstein was Mossad adjacent and he was working. You know, there's an article that came out where it was basically like Epstein and Ehud Barak were back channeling with Putin about the Syrian civil war. And I read that article and I forgot who did the article, but maybe we'll throw the article up in the YouTube comments or something. And that article was a very detailed account, a breakdown of the emails, the 30-something thousand emails that were released. And you have this guy, Jeffrey Epstein, again, who's back channeling with Ehud Barak, who was the ex-prime minister of Israel. I'm sorry, he was talking to Ehud Barak about back channeling with Vladimir Putin about how to make money from the Syrian civil war. So again, that seems like a guy who's like a connected guy. I feel like it's something my father wasn't doing. I mean, I don't know about that. Like, there were times when I didn't, obviously I didn't know what my father was doing. I imagine he was at work or something, but like he could have been back channeling with Ehud Barak and Vladimir Putin about how to make money off a Syrian civil war. I don't know. I imagine he wasn't doing that. And if someone is doing that, back channeling with the president of Russia about how to make money off the Syrian civil war, it might be fair to suggest that that person's like connected politically. I don't know. Again, I don't want to jump to conclusions. It could be nothing. That's the other thing. It could be nothing. It could be like an accident. Like you're like, I was like at a party and then I met like a guy who knew the president of Russia. I knew the ex-prime minister of Israel. We started talking. We're like, since there's like this civil war in Syria, why not make a couple of dollars? That all could be like just an accident, like a happy accident. That's what they call those things, a happy accident. So maybe it's a happy accident. Can you find this article? Because I texted it to you. I don't want to judge anyone who's back channeling with the president of Russia trying to make money off the Syrian civil war. And I don't want to suggest that that person's connected to intelligence just because of that. I don't want to jump to conclusions. Drop site news. That's who it is. I don't want to jump to conclusions about any of this. I don't want to. Drop site revealed that Epstein had played a role in brokering a security agreement between Israel and Mongolia and setting up a back channel between Israel and Russia during the Syrian civil war. So what? So what? What? Listen. Who amongst us? No, literally. Who amongst us has not brokered a security agreement between Israel and Mongolia? At least tried. Haven't you at least tried? You get up in the morning, you do your little workout, you have your coffee, and then you get on the phone with the ex-prime minister of Israel and then try to broker a peace agreement with Mongolia. You want to go to bed at night knowing you've done something. Do the work. And I just don't understand what the big deal is. Why everyone's freaking out about this. I don't think it's such a big deal that he's just back channeling with Russia about a civil war in Syria. I don't get it. Everyone's like making such a big deal about this, but this seems like pretty common behavior for a person to engage in. It feels pretty common for a guy to be engaged at high levels with a foreign government, back channeling with other governments, setting up security agreements, and then trying to figure out roads to profitability during periods of internal chaos in a country. Am I wrong? Why do we even care? What's the big deal? What's the biggie? What's the big deal here? It just seems like a regular guy. You know what's the problem with Epstein? He's a regular guy. And no one knows what a regular guy is anymore. That people are flipping out about this. He's not a they, them. He's just a dude. He's a guy who's brokering defense agreements on behalf of Israel. So what? He's like a guy. He's a dude. He likes boats. Well, of course, no. That's odd and weird, and we know that. It seems odd. It almost seems like he was doing something. Now, why does Donald Trump not want these documents out? We don't know that. Is it because his friends will be embarrassed? That seems odd. Does Trump really care about his friends? We don't know. He doesn't seem like a guy that loses a ton of sleep over friends of his getting embarrassed or other members of the government. But we don't know. We just don't know. Is he implicated himself? Well, I guess we'll find out. It certainly seems that he doesn't want these documents to come out because he himself will suffer some fallout when the documents come out. Everything about him and his character suggests that this isn't concern for others that is motivating his behavior. the extent to which he'll be embarrassed and the extent to which he's implicated in wrongdoing is we don't know. And by the way, we don't know what version of these documents is going to come out. Because we have Pam Bondi and Kesh Patel, and we have all of these people, this goon squad, who lie about everything. Now, we don't know. We can't trust any of them. They told us nothing was going on. All of these people have come out and said that nothing is going on. And the Drop Site News article literally shows you this guy's back channeling with serious players on the world stage. So it's like everyone knows, and it's not a secret, and it's not like inside info to suggest that this guy was a power player in power politics all over the world, and that's been downplayed by most media outlets, and it's certainly been downplayed by members of our government who've all fought like hell to keep these documents from seeing the light of day. And if, you know, we'll put that article up. I'm telling you right now, the gift that keeps on giving is the Aura Frame, folks. It's one of my favorite holiday traditions and memories. And you can make holiday traditions and memories with the Aura Frame. It's a digital frame that allows you to upload unlimited free videos and photos so that everybody is super excited about seeing and reliving some of the great memories and times from your past. Preload photos before it ships. Personalize your gift. Share photo and videos effortlessly. The gift box is included. You can't wrap togetherness, but you can frame it for a limited time. Visit AuraFrames.com. Get $45 off Aura's best-selling Carver matte frames. Named number one by Wirecutter. Use promo code TIM at checkout. That's AuraFrames.com, promo code TIM. This exclusive Black Friday Cyber Monday deal is their best of the year. So order now before it ends. Support the show by mentioning us at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. But now we're getting these files, so now we're going to see what's going on. And I don't want to jump to conclusions here. That's not what I want to do. I don't want to jump to conclusions about this man just because, like, for example, the ex-prime minister of Israel, like, stayed at his house a bunch and emailed with him a bunch and, like, talked to him a bunch and, like, they tried to, like, do business together with each other. But what does that even mean? What does that even mean? Like, if I talk to someone all the time and they stay at my house and I try to do business with them, do I even know them? Maybe I don't even know them. Why? Let's not jump to conclusions and start, like, painting with a broad brush and going, just because you stay at someone's home, you talk to them all the time, and you guys are in business together, you, like, know them. Like, it's, like, crazy to say. That's, like, a crazy thing to actually say. It's literally insane. It's literally insane to suggest that somebody who sleeps in the residence you do and talks to you all the time and has financial interests that are commingled with yours knows you. But they probably, it was probably very like, who even are you half the time? But so let's not, just because all of those are complete facts that are like, no one's disputed, by the way, no one has disputed any of those facts. Let's not jump to conclusions and say there was something untoward going on, because these are a lot of coincidences, and that's the way the world works. Actually, there's lots of coinkydinks, and it's actually just kind of fun and silly, and I don't think it suggests something nefarious necessarily that Jeffrey Epstein and the ex-prime minister of Israel were trying to back channel with Putin about the Syrian civil war. It seems pretty on the up and up to me. What's the big deal? It's almost like, here's what paranoid people will say. Psychos, lunatics, people you should not let into your house this Thanksgiving. Psychopaths will say, it almost seems like there's a area or a realm or a dimension of power that's filled with shadowy characters and ex-government employees and current government employees who are essentially running like another government underground that is using intelligence agencies and wealthy people and corporations to influence policy with regards to war and peace and security And that dimension of power is using things like human trafficking to control and blackmail government officials so that that dimension of power can continue sucking money out of any corner of the world they want. That sounds crazy. That sounds nuts. Get my clown nose. That sounds nuts. That's, even as I say it, it sounds wacky. It's crazy to even think that. It's so nuts. I should be put in a home. But that would be what you would think after you looked at all of this. You would actually think that maybe there's just a dimension of power that we don't really know much about that's kind of leaking out. You know, like radioactive material that's leaking out. And we're all figuring it out little by little. And this dimension of power involves people like Jeffrey Epstein and counterparts of Jeffrey Epstein all over the world who end up getting in between current and former government officials, corporate interests, and they end up creating this bridge. And then this bridge is used so that these people can kind of back channel with each other and determine the best course of action to guarantee certain political and financial interests that they prevail, no matter who's in charge of the government. That seems to be what's leaking out. This is something that's leaking out. And that's kind of already out there in the open, like no one's really disputing any of the facts. Go read that article if you want. Nobody's disputing. Get that article up. Get the Drop Site News article, the actual article that I sent you, and I want to read some of it. It's actually very interesting, and I don't really know much about it. I know I was sent this article by a few people, and I sent it to a few people, and this is one of those articles that demystifies some of the questions about who Epstein is and how he operated and the world in which he operated. And a lot of people will suggest if you had brought this up a few years ago, people would have called you paranoid and insane and crazy. And now they have no choice but to reckon with the fact that nobody is really challenging much of the substantive work done in the article that connects Epstein to serious, serious, serious people all over the world. So here, make this a little bigger. This is written by a guy, Ryan Grimm. Keep going. Jeffrey Epstein and Ehud Barak were specialists in war profiteering at the end of his tenure as Israel's defense minister and after his supposed retirement. Barak embraced a role as a salesman of Israeli security services to embattle governments, opening the door for Israeli intelligence leaders to shape the security apparatuses of several African nations. Quietly facilitating these efforts was Jeffrey Epstein. Epstein wrote at one point to Barak, quote, "With civil unrest exploding and the desperation of those in power, isn't this perfect for you?" Barak replied, "You're right in a way, but not simple to transform it into a cash flow." So that's what, and they were talking about an African nation, Cote d'Ivoire or something. So this is what was happening. This is what was going on. And this is what people on the internet have called no evidence. This is what people on the internet have referred to as no evidence. No evidence at all. It was funny. Ann Coulter, you know, I had my barbecue in the Hamptons, and Ann Coulter was there, and she's like, she came, you know, she got a bunch of friends in the Hamptons, and you know, I grew up watching Ann. I had Ann there, and she's like, oh, and she pulled everyone close, like she was going to say something really like amazing, like, you know, and she's like, "I think this Jeffrey Epstein was being funded by Israel." I'm like, "Ann, you're like a few years late. Thank you for the scoop. Thank you for the scoop." Obviously, this isn't suggesting that Jewish people or even Israelis have anything to do with this or should even be blamed for it, because I don't want to be blamed for what the CIA does. I'd never want to be blamed for what the FBI does. I'd never want to be blamed for anything that the deep state or the intelligence apparatus of my country does. I think people in the UK or France would never want to be blamed for what, you know, intelligence agencies or criminals in their countries do. But this does suggest that there is potentially a dimension of this that is going to get very, very sticky on a geopolitical scale. You know, this is another article here. Hacked emails show how Jeffrey Epstein and former Prime Minister Ehud Barak tried to engineer a Russian-led solution to remove Bashar al-Assad, who was the leader of Syria. Jeffrey Epstein facilitated efforts to open a back channel between Israel and the Kremlin during the Syrian civil war, according to leaked emails from the Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak. Let's get a few quotes. Just keep going down. Let's find some quotes here. So that quote that we just read, which civil unrest exploding in Ukraine, Syria, Somalia, Libya, and the desperation of those in power, isn't this perfect for you? And he said, yes, not easy way to turn it into cash flow. You know, so clandestine actors sought to shape agendas in Moscow and Washington while Israeli officials denied involvement. And so you have a guy like Jeffrey Epstein, who, again, this is the term back channel. This is the whole point. This is the reason that Jeffrey Epstein exists. It's plausible deniability. You have a guy who knows a lot of people in power, has leverage over them for whatever reason, and we know what reason, and he can set up these meetings and, you know, people trust him and they, you know, they go, he acts with discretion. So again, this drop site news, our ongoing series reveals how Epstein used elite networks and quasi-official institutions to promote security interests, Israeli security interests. And here's the deal. These are quotes directly from declassified emails. They're not like, this isn't like some type of like, you know, in the early hours of May 9, 2013, former Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak emailed his close friend Jeffrey Epstein with an urgent message. Are you awake? Funny. Are you up? If yes, please call. Barak wrote Epstein at 1 a.m. in New York. Shortly after they spoke, Barak emailed again to ask Epstein to keep their conversations private. Jeff, please don't share info with any of our friends. Epstein replied, of course not. I think you should let Putin know you will be in Moscow. See if he wants private time. They built a back channel to Putin in hopes of winning Russia's support to remove Syrian President Bashar al-Assad from power, according to leaked emails from Ehud Barak's inbox. Before approaching Putin, Barak and Epstein sought to use one of the major American newspapers to frame Israel's narrative about the Syrian war, and telegraph a framework for peace talks led by the United States and Russia. So this is a little lesson about how things work. There are certain people that have certain interests in a global framework, and in order for that to be enforced, certain leaders have to be removed, and that cannot be done all the time overtly because those people don't want to come out and say, we want to get rid of this person because they will be accused of destabilizing countries, regions, whatever. So you have Epstein, you have back channels, and then you have people going out in the media going, here's the narrative for why we should do this. Here's a narrative for why the United States needs to get involved in this. I'm sure Bashar al-Assad was not a great guy. I don't want to live in Syria. I don't like Bashar al-Assad. I never wanted to live in Iraq under Saddam Hussein. I never wanted to live under the Taliban in Afghanistan. It never looked fun. You know, I like, you know, New York. I like California. I like Florida. I don't really want to live in Syria. And I, you know, my interest in Syrian politics, I got to be honest with you, is not like a huge motivating factor in my life. I just don't wake up every day and go, what tribal gang in Syria should I get behind today? It's not something that I usually do. God, I love Quince. You know, I ordered a bunch of stuff and it's on the way, but I just know it's going to be good. Cold morning, holiday plans. This is when I just want my wardrobe to be simple. Stuff that looks sharp, feels good, and things I'll actually wear. For me, that's Quince. And the bonus, Quince pieces make great gifts too. This season's lineup is simple, but smart and easy with Quince. $50 Mongolian cashmere sweaters that feel like everyday luxury and wool coats that are equal parts stylish and durable. They're denim nails, the fit and everyday comfort at a fraction of the cost of what you'd expect to pay. By partnering directly with ethical factories and top artisans, Quince cuts out the middleman to deliver premium quality at half the cost of their other high-end brands. You can give luxury quality pieces without the luxury price tag. Quince has gift and covered beyond clothing, too. If you picked up anything for home, bath, kitchen, or travel to share this holiday, give and get timelessly holiday staples this season with Quince. Go to quince.com/Tim for your free shipping on your order and 365-day returns, now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/Tim. Free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/Tim. Nutrafol helps everyone get their hair back. You've probably seen a million ads for their hair growth products and thought, sure, does that actually work? Yeah, but by the way, it does, because literally it does. Nutrafol is physician-formulated, clinically tested, and dermatologists also recommended. It's the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement brand trusted by over 1.5 million people. You can feel great about what you're putting in your body since Nutrafol hair growth supplements are backed by peer-reviewed studies and NSF content certified, the gold standard and third-party certification of supplements. See thicker, stronger, fast-growing hair with less shedding in 3 to 6 months with Nutrafol. For limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping. You go to Nutrafol.com and enter promo code Tim Dillon, T-I-M-D-I-L-L-O-N. Find out why Nutrafol is the best-selling hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com, spelled N-U-T-R-A-F-O-L.com, promo code Tim Dillon. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code Tim Dillon. But after 9-11, and I want you to listen to this because this is very, very important. After 9-11, which was the worst terrorist attack on American soil and that we had ever had. I was in 11th grade. After 9-11, there was an idea that America could no longer afford to ignore emerging threats from all over the world. America had to take charge, take the lead, the Bush Doctrine, preemptive war, go in and get it before it's a problem. Shut it down before it gets cooking. Go and knock over. We're going to invade their countries. We're going to draw no distinctions between terrorists and those who harbor them. You got a couple of people popping shit at a cafe and you're the leader of a country. You're out. Knock them over. Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya, Syria. So what happens? We get rid of these governments because they're naughty and they're bad. And there's terrorists. People don't like America. So a guy in a cafe goes, I'd love to bomb the shit out of that. And then if you're in the CIA, you get all this intelligence and you go into the White House and you go, so by the way, at a cafe, you're never going to guess what happened. This guy, Muhammad Al, said he's going to blow us up. Can you believe that? Can you believe he said that? And then usually the president might ask like, a follow-up question, like, why is he submitting us? And then the CIA goes, I don't know. It's, we killed his father and his son. Anyway, we should go in there and knock over the government because otherwise, this guy's just going to, raise an army and he's going to get over. He's going to slip through the cracks. He'll just put sarin gas in the New York City subway system or he'll blow up, Mount Rushmore. You don't want that on your watch. You don't want to blow up Mount Rushmore. You think that's good if he blows up Mount Rushmore on your watch? Well, no, that's the one with the heads. Yeah, in the mountain. The heads get blown up. You like that? Lincoln's head blown up on your watch. Did they say they were going to blow up Mount Rushmore? Not exactly, but we imagine that's something they do. Right, not good. Well, what about Vegas? What if they nuke Vegas? What? Going to nuke Vegas? Yeah, it's a matter of time. Vegas, everyone's having fun. Bachelorette party. They nuke it. They'll nuke Vegas. They're going to nuke Vegas. What? Yes. So now you have some guy popping shit in a cafe about how much he hates America, and I'm sure how much he'd love to attack it. So you're the president. You've just gotten this information, and they go, well, here's the problem. It's a bad regime. They tolerate these radicals in their country. They harbor these terrorists. They're on a list. Let's knock them over. So you knock over the leader of the country, whether it's Saddam Hussein or Bashar al-Assad or the guy in Libya, Gaddafi, you get rid of him. You go, bad, you're out. And then you put someone else in. Now, who do you put in? You put in somebody who is usually pro-Western business interests, okay? for a time, they come in that you usually back them, okay? And then what happens is they have to run this country. So they start doing a lot of what the other people used to do, the torturing, the disappearing people in the middle of the night, the rape rooms come back. Now, remember, they get you install them and you're like, it's a new page and a new chapter and we're excited for the new Iraq. It will be the new, you know, a new chapter is written in the history of freedom or whatever. You know, some of these guy who graduates Georgetown writes this speech and you say it and you install some psychopath and then you stop talking about what happens. And then years later, if you do a tiny bit of research, you find out, this guy's doing the same thing that you invaded the country for, but he's cutting you a piece. So he's cutting you a piece. That's the way the game works. So like the other guy wasn't really cutting you a piece. The other guys, they're both doing the same thing, which is bowling with people's heads. They're just bowling with people's heads. That's what they're doing. They're taking people's heads and then they're bowling with them in the palace with people's heads. But one of these guys wasn't breaking you off a piece. Now the other guy is breaking you off a little piece for a while, and then he stops. Maybe he stops. He goes, you know, I don't want to break you off a piece anymore because elements of his government start going, hey, we're a little sick of breaking America off a piece. We think you're a cock for the West. We think you're kind of a cock for the West. We don't like this. And you know, we think maybe we'd do a better job. So in order to avoid some coup or some internal strife or discomfort, he decides, you know what? I'm going to turn on the West because my people are angry at me. They want to get rid of me because I've been robbing them blind. They're kind of, the jig is up. I got to get mad at somebody. I can't fire me. So I'm going to start turning on the West. And then he turned on the West and then it's just rinse and repeat. And then we just do the same thing. And this is what we've done. This has been our foreign policy for a very long time. We spend trillions of dollars doing this. American servicemen and women die. Nothing changes in many of these countries, by the way. Most of these countries are exactly the same way they were. They are horrible places to live. Many of them have sectarian, ethnic, and religious beef, just like the guy in Minnesota who no one wanted to vote for, because he was from the wrong Somali tribe. So a lot of Somalis in Minnesota didn't vote for that guy who looked like Captain Phillips because he was from the wrong Somali tribe. They were loyal to another Somali tribe, and they're all here in America eating pancakes. So tribal, ethnic, sectarian warfare is making an appearance in Minnesota state politics. It's going to be an interesting fair in 10 years over there, but my point is this, all of this stuff that I've grown up with, that we've witnessed, that's supposed to make everything safer and more secure and more pro-Western, because again, after 9/11, guys like Thomas Friedman at the New York Times were like, they wrote books like Longitudes and Attitudes and The World is Flat. It was about how globalization was going to cure war. And it was going to open the world up. Technology had flattened the world. Free trade had flattened the world. People were able to communicate with each other. Capital was allowed to move across borders. People were allowed to move across borders. We had immigration. We had free trade. And all of these things were supposed to create an interconnected, interdependent world where everybody was respectful and kind. And it's helped out the very rich and the very poor. Now, the middle classes of all of these countries were just told to go kill themselves with fentanyl. Thomas Friedman didn't really realize how that would affect the body politic. By going to the vast majority of the middle of all of these countries and telling them that they weren't really needed anymore and they could just go and drink themselves to death. But very poor people in parts of the world that were living on like less than a dollar a day, those people were benefited by globalization. And then uber wealthy people, Larry Fink, the BlackRock folk, and others benefited as well. The benefits usually went to college-educated people that were working in industries that benefited from cheap labor or they benefited from the technology. And a lot of these industries, the people in them were, you know, very, you know, pro the idea that Western civilization, which, again, I'm a huge fan of, could be exported to the countries we're talking about. Now, and they felt very good about it. They'd go to brunch and they would sit there and they'd eat avocado toast and talk about like women in Afghanistan learning to read. And it was very nice. And then they would go to their job at Apple or you know, Goldman Sachs or whatever. And they would talk on Sundays about women in Afghanistan learning to read. I'm not against women learning to read. It's great that women are learning to read in Afghanistan. Of course, that doesn't really tell the whole story of what's happening in Afghanistan either. So the government realized that we could play these games by convincing people that their safety in America depended on them allowing the government to use their money to fund endless wars. Not only their safety, but their morality. It was a moral thing to go in and knock over these terrible leaders that were oppressing people and then open up more opportunities for women or the disenfranchised, whatever the case may be. Which, again, in principle, I'm not against, but that's not whatever really happens. It happens for a quick minute. The Taliban are back. The new guy running Syria is a jihadist. But the other thing that happens during all of this, again, remember, globalization is the cure for terrorism because we can't shut the borders. The world's flat. We can't become more protectionist. We just have to deal with it. So the only way to do this is to convince everyone in the whole world to like us. And the only way to do that is to invade their countries, decapitate the leadership of those countries, install pro-Western puppet governments, and build hotels and shopping malls for those people to go to, as opposed to madrasas or religious schools where they learn to hate us. This was the entire ethos of the early 2000s. It was the religion of the Washington establishment, the elite, the media, every journalism school, every single political science from the Harvard Kennedy School of Government, all the way on down. If you meet somebody who went to George Washington University, they were raised on this. They were all raised on this, as was I. I was raised on it. Listening to the Fox News blaring in my Long Island house. I was raised on it. Everyone was raised on this idea. Some people call it neoconservatism. Some people call it neoliberalism. It doesn't really matter what you call it. This was the way that America had run for a very long time. And this is an indication of the people that were behind the scenes pushing the real narratives. The real rationale for these wars, which usually was tied to, not usually, always tied to, money. Making money. Strategic interest. Natural resources, money, ports, control. We get it. And some of that's important. I'm not saying none of that is important. But it was never about democracy. It was never about the women learning to read. And when you read these emails, when you have Jeffrey Epstein talking to Ehud Barak, going, how do we make money here? How do we make money off the Syrian civil war? And then going, let's have a paper in America write a nice article about that Bashar Assad's a piece of shit. Who's the new leader of Syria? Get him up. Get the new leader of Syria. Who's running Syria now? Brittany Broski? Who's running Syria? I want to know who's running Syria now. I'm curious. This is like a jihadist who is now running Syria, which again, I don't care about, but it is interesting that people are excited about this guy. What's his name? Ahmed al-Shara is a former jihadist who fought with al-Qaeda and was once a U.S. prisoner. He led the rebel group Hayat Tahrir al-Sham before severing ties with al-Qaeda and becoming an elected transitional president. Interesting. Do we have any, are there videos of him? Are there videos of Ahmed al-Shara? Maybe we can find some. I don't know. I don't want to judge Ahmed al-Shara. I'm sure everyone makes mistakes. A lot of people fought for al-Qaeda. A lot of people ended up a U.S. prisoner while fighting for al-Qaeda. A lot of people back channel with Putin. I don't want to judge any of these people. I don't want to judge them. Maybe they're good people that ended up in wacky situations. Like a hangover movie. I don't know. I don't want to judge any of these people. But apparently this guy is now running Syria, and apparently that's like a win. Now, what are the chances down the road this guy's going to turn against us? I don't know. I'm betting high. That's my guess. My guess is that down the road, it's possible that a man who once fought with Al-Qaeda and ended up a U.S. prisoner might turn on us. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there, that down the road, that could happen. And then I guess we'd have to go in there. So I just don't understand how exactly it's a win for us. Is this him?
Yes.
This is him.
Yeah.
On Fox News, this guy. All right, this is the new president of Syria. On Fox News, this is he's talking about his connections to Al-Qaeda. And again, this is what happens. That he's in a suit. He's got a tie. He looks like a guy that would sell you a Mercedes in Los Angeles. He looks like a guy that would sell you a Mercedes in Los Angeles. Now, they're not showing the pictures where he's hanging on the back of a truck with the black ISIS flag waving it around. They show you a photo that looks like he's about to sell you a Jaguar in Century City. Let's take a look at new Syrian president.
Do you, Mr. President, have regrets that Al-Qaeda carried out those attacks that killed 3,000 Americans?
I was only 19 years old, so I was a very young person, and it didn't have any decision-making power at that time.
Right.
And I don't have anything to do with it. And Al-Qaeda was not present right then in my area. So you're speaking to the wrong person about this subject. We mourn for every civilian that got killed, and we know that people suffer from the war, especially civilians who pay the price, a hefty price for the war.
Mr. President, the White House has said that President Trump would like Syria to join the Abraham Accords.
Yeah. So, well, that's the new president of Syria who was like, hey, I don't have anything to do with that. You get out of here. Can you get out of here with this? Everyone wants to know. Yeah, I was in Al-Qaeda. So what? What's the big, I was 19. So that's the president of Syria, and I'm hoping that it all works over there. That's my goal. I'm hoping that it all works. I'd hate one day for a guy who's running a human trafficking operation a la a Jeffrey Epstein type to have to back channel with someone else about how to get rid of him, because that's the way it all works. There'll be an email that someone will send about this guy going, let's go to one of our press outlets and talk about how this, and they'll write, they'll go, you know, he was a prisoner. You know, he was actually captured. He was in Al-Qaeda. So this foreign policy was like, it's called, to me, it's a goldfish, because the goldfishes don't really have a memory. They don't really have a memory. So they count on the American people not really having a memory and just being like, you know, eating and watching things and not really caring. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest personal injury law firm. Their fee is free unless you win. That's how good they are. Morgan & Morgan has more than 1,000 lawyers and 100 offices nationwide. Hiring Morgan & Morgan is like hiring an army that has your back. If you're injured by somebody else's negligence, you deserve to be paid. And here's the truth. Not all law firms are the same. Hire the wrong one and you may be beat before you even start. Their fee is free unless they win. Oh, God, that's my favorite thing. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/TIM. That's forthepeople.com/TIM. This is a paid advertisement. Sometimes you just want to sharpen yourself mentally. And one of the best ways to do it, folks, is NeuroGum. Ever feel like you're running on empty, staring at your screen, hitting the afternoon crash, and debating another cup of coffee or energy drink? Neuro Energy and Focus is powered by natural green tea, caffeine, L-theanine to calm focus, vitamin B12 and B6 for better mood and metabolism. No sugar, no aspartame, no crash. Neuro can be shared or enjoyed on the go, anywhere or anytime you are. For discreet and good energy, just chew and go. Unlike sugary gums or sketchy energy drink ingredients, Neuro is clean, effective, and actually good for you. Think of it as your smarter, faster wellness ritual. For work, workouts, or carpooling, I mean, Neuro also offers caffeine-free options for all-day wellness support. Neuro Memory and Focus Gum are made with American ginseng to support mental clarity, minus the jitters. Neuro Sleep and Recharge Mints or for melatonin and chamomile to help you unwind and rest without pills or sugary gummies. This is a candy. It's functional wellness designed for true everyday focus. Neuro is good energy. For a limited time, you can get 20% off your first order at neurogum.com. Neurogum. It's better than fentanyl. That's neurogum.com. Use code TM for 20% off your first order. You can also find Neuro at CVS and Amazon. So now what else has happened? While they've been knocking over governments all over the Middle East, you've sent thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions actually of refugees all over Europe. And from cultures that are not super compatible, like 100,000 Syrian refugees going into Germany, Syrian culture, people that grew up, you know, in Syria in an incredibly religious, fundamentalist sect of Islam might not assimilate easily into Germany. And it doesn't make me a Nazi to say that. It's just something that may or may not happen. I'm sure some of them will. But if you take people from a radically different culture and you dump them onto a country that's having issues as is, people that are in that country tend to get mad and they get radicalized and they radicalize to the right or to the left, and they eventually will engage in some type of violence. And then you use that violence as an excuse to take away even more of their civil rights. And you keep doing this. See this? You go, we put 100,000 people here, and some of them are going to assimilate, and some of them won't, and some of them are going to turn to crime, and some of them might just start grooming gangs, and some of them are going to prey on your daughter, which is true and a fact. Not all of them, obviously, but some of them will. And some of them are going to take government benefits and not do anything with it, and some of them are going to be amazing patriotic citizens who love Germany and become good Germans, and some of them won't. A lot of them might not. And some of them, actually, I know this is going to sound crazy again, but are going to go, actually, we're really fundamentalist Muslims, and we kind of believe that Germany should be a Muslim country. So what we're going to do is support Muslim candidates for mayor and for city government and for other positions on the courts, whatever, because we want the country to turn in the direction of Islam. That's what we believe. We would like to live in a Muslim country called Germany. That's what some people are going to do. Now, you're a nut job. You're a nut. Now, remember, here's the ultimate thing here that's kind of funny. We're all told you can't go to Saudi Arabia and do the comedy festival because they're demons and it's dangerous and they're horrible people. But we're also told that there's absolutely nothing to fear from fundamentalist Islam settling in your country. You got to open your borders to anyone that wants to come in. And if you suggest for any minute that certain cultures will be less compatible, you're a Nazi psychopath. But if you've, why is Saudi Arabia so bad, by the way? Why are they so wacky over there? All these laws that people don't like. What inspired these laws? What fundamentalist religion inspired all of these laws in Saudi Arabia that people seem not to like? I don't know. I forget. But apparently that is so dangerous and so bad. But again, if you object to it coming in here, you're a Nazi pig. Shut your mouth. Now, you have to keep these contradictions in your head all the time. This is what it's like to exist on the internet. You have to not see any of these things. You have to just lash out at people, okay? You ever see a cat when you do the thing with the yarn and it's just batting it? That's what you have to do. Riyadh, bad, it's bad. Why is it bad? Bad, they killed a journalist. Interesting. What else is going on? And they treat gays terribly and women terribly. And why do they do that? Why do they do that? They do that because they have Sharia law, which is Islamic law in their society. Yeah. Okay, so maybe should we, think about that when admitting people in our country? You're a Nazi piece of shit! What? Hold on. That doesn't make any sense. Nazi! You're a piece of shit! White supremacist! No, I'm just asking. You're the one who threw a huge fit about these laws in these countries you don't like. What inspired those laws? And if somebody from Germany says anything, or Sweden, or Norway about the fact that you're dumping people who believe the exact same things that the organizers of the Evo Riyadh Comedy Festival believe, then what are we doing? But again, you have to go past these contradictions. You just have to emote. So when in the UK and in France that are having major issues with culture, okay? Major issues with different cultures figuring out ways to live together. It's very hard. So all of these ideas that knock over these governments in the Middle East, send refugees all over Europe that have a tough time assimilating, the populations of those countries begin radicalizing. Some of them, unfortunately, engage in acts of violence. There are skirmishes. There are things like that. So the governments of those countries say, you know what? We're not stopping the immigration. We're going to just start putting people in jail that say things on Facebook we dislike. That's what we're going to do. We're just going to put them in jail. So if you say anything about the immigration, you're going to jail. And we're going to strip more of your rights, and that's what we're going to do. Soon we'll have a digital ID. We'll take all the money out of your bank account. We'll put you in jail. And if you point to any of this and suggest that perhaps it's weird or negative or bad or a harbinger of things to come, you will be called every name in the book. And there will be no logic. There is no logic to it. You can easily see how all of these things are reinforcing all of these other things. So I'm starting to think that the people, the architects of these policies actually don't want it to work. I'm starting to feel like they actually don't want this to work. They actually want the chaos. They want the strife. They want the problems. They want the economy to collapse. They want the violence so that they can come in and take everybody's rights. Because if I, a college dropout from Nassau Community College, clown comedian who wears sunglasses and does a show in front of an inflatable cactus, or a picture of the beach that we 3D printed at Kinko's, can figure all this out, I imagine that a Rhodes Scholar from Harvard might have had one or two of these thoughts as well. Okay? So I imagine that someone somewhere has come across this stuff and realizes what the hell's going on, but they don't seem to ever care. They seem to continue on this course because it guarantees more violence and chaos, at which point the violence and chaos starts to get overwhelming, and you need to use some type of technology, surveillance technology, perhaps, to monitor people to prevent that. And if society gets bad enough, people will actually surrender their rights and say, we don't really give a shit about your right. You can surveil us. You can do anything you want as long as we can go outside and walk to the park without problems. So that seems to be the plan here. That seems to be what's going on. And I don't see how people could see it another way. I know some people obviously will hear this and disagree with me. They think I'm an alarmist or a racist or a crackhead or a crackpot or whatever the case may be. But I'm just laying out the facts as I see them. I mean, nothing I'm saying is really over-the-top speculation. This is all happening. Right-wing, far-right leaders and are getting popular all over Europe. You have the far left is getting popular as well, meaning people are radicalizing to the fringes of the political ideology. And it's happening because the center has decided to basically throw them overboard and tell them that any concern they have is chalked up to racism or xenophobia and that they shouldn't be listened to. And in fact, they should be ignored and bankrupted or canceled or thrown out or, you know, this is what you see happening. I mean, these hate crimes laws and free speech stuff in the UK is genuinely insane. It's genuinely insane. So all of this is to say that it would be insane to think that just because Jeffrey Epstein was back channeling with the Israeli prime minister about how to make money from the Syrian civil war, it would be completely crazy to suggest that that linked him to any foreign government or any illicit nefarious activity. He's just a man trying to make a couple of dollars like anyone else. The thing about Jeffrey Epstein is that he understands life was short. You got to make the most of it. And that's maybe why people disliked him. That's perhaps why people disliked him. And we're going to find out when these files come out. But this, the way the world has been running since I'm 14 or 15 years old, is everything that I have just described to you. That is the operating system by which the United States has interfaced with the world. People in the United States and other countries, especially very wealthy people, don't seem to care much about the United States. They have loyalty to this economic system that allows them to maximize their profits all over the world. And they buy politicians in order to let them do that. This isn't just, you know, this isn't like Jewish people or Muslims or anything. This is everybody in a certain income bracket. A lot of them seem to not care that much about any specific landmass. They seem to maintain multiple homes all over the world. And they have loyalty to their own economic standing and preserving their own influence and power. And those are the people who don't say anything about the Epstein stuff. And those are the people that don't say anything about the problems in the UK or the skirmishes and Dearborn or whatever, which I don't even know much about. I'm just saying those are the people that will not say anything when the government goes super to the left. I mean, the culture rather goes to the left or to the right. They don't really care. It doesn't bother them. It doesn't affect them. They're here to turn it into cash flow. They're here to turn the Syrian civil war into cash flow. They don't care about your life. They don't care about your children. They don't care about their mental health. They don't care about the phones. They don't care about TikTok. They don't care about the drugs. They don't care about the violence. They don't care about the crime. They don't care about the ghettos. They don't care about any of that. It doesn't bother them. They don't. In fact, some of them get off on it. They're kind of freaks and they like it. It's a little wild, but they don't care about any of that. They don't care about the disappearing middle class. They don't care about the lower class. None of it bothers them. They don't care about any of it. They don't care about you, your family. They don't care about America, certainly. They only care about preserving their power and influence. And that's where people like Jeffrey Epstein come in. He does the bidding of people that don't really want to listen to the Marjorie Taylor Greens. They think she's white trash. They think she's from Georgia. They think she's a monster. She ran a construction company. She's a mother. She has a kid. They don't give a shit about any of that. You know why? She didn't go to Harvard. Okay? She didn't go to an Ivy League school. They've never met her at a friend's house in Greenwich, Connecticut. Okay? She's not married to somebody who runs a hedge fund. She's not married to somebody who runs a private equity company. She doesn't speak at the World Economic Forum, so they don't like her. They do not like her. And they do not like people like her on the right or the left. So this group of people, this class of people that wants to preserve their influence and their power, they go and live in the gray area. And people like Jeffrey Epstein work for them. People like Jeffrey Epstein work for them. And he gets them anything they want. Many of them have sick, perverse appetites. Many of them are not only pedophiles, but some of them are murderers, I imagine. These people will use guys, people like Jeffrey Epstein, to guarantee that they can satisfy some of the worst impulses that they have in a discreet way. And he'll clean things up. He's the fixer. He's whatever. He'll hide their money. He'll procure them young girls. He's a monster. He has no morality. He's completely evil. That's his advantage. He's not a genius. He knows loopholes, but he's not a genius. He's not a tactician. He's evil. That's what the guy brings to the table. He's willing to destroy people's lives as long as he can get the people that he works for what they want, and he can get his beak wet in the process. But it's all to say, again, Calgary.com, again, you shouldn't draw any conclusions from the fact that Jeffrey Epstein was trying to back channel with the ex-prime minister of Israel and Vladimir Putin to try to make money on the Syrian civil war. There's nothing to see there. There's absolutely nothing to see there. It has no effect on your life. And I know what your retort's going to be. Well, it's actually my tax dollars, and it's actually my kids that might end up fighting it. And it's actually the entire structure of the world. And it's actually, hey, shut up. I'm telling you this right now. Mind your business. Like Mike Johnson said, it's sources and methods that need to be protected here, not children. Sources and methods. Notice what Mike Johnson said. It is sources and methods that need to be protected. But you know who Mike Johnson really wants to protect? He wants to protect you from the truth because he thinks you're scum. He thinks you're scum and they'd abduct your kids in 5 minutes and think nothing of it. So let's see what comes out and how it comes out. And, you know, let's all hold our breath and wait for people to be exonerated or for this to get a whole hell of a lot worse. But I've just given you all some ammunition. If you go to Thanksgiving and people start popping off, you can pop off too. It's your right as an American to say Jeffrey Epstein was trying to make money off the Syrian civil war, Mom. Why do you think that was going on, Mom? Chuck Schumer's out there going, we want to know all the Epstein files. You had 4 years. What are you doing? Nobody wants these things out. It's like Marjorie Taylor Greene and three other people want them out. And now I know everybody's voting for it now because they all feel pressured to do it. Let's see them come out. Let's see what happens. Let's see what the fallout is. But it's bigger than just the idea that Trump's got a few billionaire friends on there that he doesn't want to embarrass. He's either deeply implicated in horrific things or, and by the way, very possibly, and this suggests this will open the door, this will open a portal to an entire world that most people don't know exists, and it will completely destroy their belief in any narrative they're fed ever again. Thanksgiving might be interesting. Good night.